As we come together on this morning, continuing to give God thanks for all that he has done for us. It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. A day that we were not promised, but a day that we are able to enjoy. If you did not never mind. Not going to say that. What does it mean to be hindered? What does it mean to be hindered? I believe that many times in our lives, something happens and we do not understand why. We do not understand why. The word hindered is defined as create difficulties for someone or something, resulting in delay or obstruction. There have been many a times where we have been hindered by somebody or by something. The scripture reference that was read, it explains to us very clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is not the one that hinders us. Very clearly. I believe, can't remember which one of y'all it was. It was either Brother, no, I do know it was, Brother Thanopoulos, mentioned about the comedian saying, the devil made me do it. Was that not you? Like you, yeah, I know who it was. Like he didn't know he would flip Wilson that said it. He might have forgot, like I forget sometimes when I'm looking at your faces, I forget your name. And I say, you better tell me, otherwise you're going to be nameless today. But it was Flip Wilson that said, the devil made me do it. You know, we do things because we want to do them. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve had a choice. She listened to the serpent, and she chose to do what God said not to do. We are hindered because we have lost sight of what we need to be doing. We allow things of this world to sidetrack us, to get our focus off of what needs to be accomplished, and then we want to blame God. It's your fault. That's what Adam did he not? That woman you gave me, she gave to me and I did eat. You did what you wanted to do, Adam, because that's what you wanted to do. God didn't say, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm just going to punish her. No, Adam had to suffer the consequences of his wrongdoings. And because of Adam, we have found out that death comes to all men. Do not be hindered. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5 once again. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read this again. Verse 7 of Galatians chapter 5. Understanding again that it is not God who hinders us. It says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. It's not from him. Well, if it's not from him, answer the question, who is from? Answer the question, who is from. That answer has to be in the Word of God. If you see one thing in reference to not doing something, then there has to be a reason for not doing that. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verses 8. 1 Thessalonians 2 and the verse is 8. Who hindered you? Who hindered you? It's important, again, that as we look at this and understand that there are some things that have been going wrong, there are some things that will go wrong, and as those things approach us, that we have to know again which direction we're supposed to be going in. Verse 18. You're a little slow. Verse 18. Who hindered us from doing what is right? I believe that, let's go back to verse 13 and come down. Verse 13 and come down. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators, listen to this very well now, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out. And this pleased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again. But Satan hindered us. Hindrance is not from God. Hindrance is from the devil. By many schemes, by many things that is thrown before us, those obstacles that we pray to God that he may remove them. Let's change that prayer to give me the strength to endure them, to overcome them. Never ever give up. Don't throw in the towel. When you're going through an obstacle course and you get to a difficult section of it, conquer it. You know, that old saying, going on a bear hunt, that little thing that we used to do and say when we were in elementary school and on, you know, you come to this and a mountain, you can't go through it, you can't go over it, you can't go under it. How are you going to get through it? How are you going to get over it? How are you going to get, you know, around it? If you do not move forward, you are not. Let's quit being quitters. Let's quit saying, I can't, and say, I can. Because God is the one that strengthened us to do everything that we have done, that we're doing, and that we will do. We get our strength from him. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Well, what can you not do? If you can do all things, what can you not do? Well, we know that we're not God, so we can't do the things that God has done, but we can do the things that He expects us to do, the things that He desires us to do, and that is not give up. Although Paul says here that he was hindered by Satan, he did not give up. He continued on to live for God, to live for Christ, to be the example that he needed to be, to encourage people to stay strong and faithful. We need to do the same thing. Yeah, you may have a downfall. You may get kicked backwards. But get up and keep moving. Do the things that God wants you to do. We find in Scripture, in reference to being hindered, some people or some things that hinders us. False teachers. And the reason we allow false teachers to hinder us is because we do not study the way we need to study. We're not in the Word the way we need to be in the Word. We're not allowing the Word to be active in our lives, to be that those imitators of the ones that have come before us, imitators of Christ Jesus our Lord, the greatest example that we have ever had and that we will ever have. Luke chapter 11 and the verse is 52. Luke chapter 11 and the verse is 52. Knowing again that we cannot give up, we must continue to move forward. Woe to the lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. You know, we talk about that from time to time. You can't get where you need to be, so therefore you pull others down with you. Instead of pushing them up, helping them along, I can't do it, but I know you can. That's not the attitude of men, is it? That's not the attitude of false teachers. They're not going to be able to accomplish anything. They can't get in, so they don't want nobody else to get in. Satan don't want us to go to heaven. He doesn't want us to follow after the ways of the Lord because he already knows he can't get in. So he don't want us to get in. You've heard it said time and time again, Satan is a coward. He's a scary cat. He knows that the bottomless pit, the darkest of darkest places, is where he's going to have to spend his eternity. And he don't want to be alone. He want to carry as many as he can with him. Do not allow him to hinder you from getting in. Keep moving forward. Do not listen to the false teachers. Open up your Bibles and study them for yourselves. Too many times people have relied on the man to tell him what to do, how to do it, and how long to do it, instead of looking in the Word of God for himself. It's sad. Bibles are readily available. People are throwing Bibles in the trash. People don't care about God's Word, but there is somebody that cares that need to pick up one of those Bibles and they need to open it up and they need to read it. And when they find, because we all can understand God's Word alike, when they find the things that they need to do, they need to do those things. Find someone, you know, you're reading God's Word and you find that baptism is what saves. You read that there by yourself and you notice that you cannot baptize yourself. And you notice that the person that is doing the baptizing is a person that believes in God's Word. Find that person and ask them to baptize you because you believe in the Word of God and you believe that His Word is true. And in turn, that person is going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Or who is Jesus? And you tell them, and then you find enough water. When the eunuch and Philip was riding along in the chariot in Acts chapter 8, as Philip was preaching unto him Jesus, they came unto a certain water. Brother Pack, I love Brother Pack, and I love him when he tells the story about Philip and the eunuch in reference to, you know, if it hadn't have been, you know, needing much water, they could have used the canteen, because I don't know anybody that's going to go through the desert without some type of water. A canteen of water wasn't enough. A cup of water wasn't enough. Had to be enough water for both of them to go down into the water and for the eunuch to be baptized. See, a lot of times we talk to people about God's word, and we look at the expression on their faces as we're explaining to them what the word of God says and what the word of God means, and you, sometimes you see their faces light up. But then you keep looking, and the countenance falls. Because you get to a part where they're going to have to do something, but what they have to do is going to go against all that they have ever been taught. The eunuch did not allow that to happen to him on that day. He was not hindered. Here is much water. What hinders me to be baptized? He was not. He was baptized, and he came up out of the water rejoicing. Rejoicing. He was not hindered. But again, we allow false teachers to hinder us. Unbelief. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3, unbelief hinders us from doing what is right. Again, let's look at the word of God, and let's believe what the word of God says, and let's dismiss what man is saying, because man has no ground to stand on, no book to give you. And when I'm saying man, you know the man I'm talking about. The ones that do not believe in God's word, or they say, I believe in God's word, but that I do not agree with. You either agree with part or none. Either agree with, you're going to either agree with all or none. Can't just believe in part of it. You need to believe in it all. From the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, believe God's word. Hebrews chapter 3, and let's start with verse 8. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my words for 40 years. Again, they saw my words for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray to their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They shall not enter my rest. What is going on? You know, a lot of times you tell people what they need to do in order to get what they need, and a lot of times they want to go in a different direction. I think I can do it better this way. I think what we need to do, matter of fact, I know what we need to do, is follow God's word. Follow God's word. These people, for 40 years, wandering, not paying attention, not doing what God wanted them to do. How long has it taken us to get to where we are? And what are we going to do now that we are where we need to be, or where we think we need to be? What are we going to do? Are we going to fall back? Are we going to stop listening to God's word? Or are we going to move forward? What's going to hinder you? What is going to hinder you? There's a lot of things that we can talk about this morning that are a hindrance to us. And then there are some things that some people may think they are a hindrance to us, but yet they are a help to us. You know, again, Adam blamed Eve for eating of that fruit that God told them not to eat from that tree that he told them not to eat from. Why did God make woman? Why did God make woman? He made woman in order to be a helpmeet for the man. A helpmeet for the man. And as he made woman to be the helpmeet for the man, man was to direct the woman by the words that God gave him and continue to do that. So what we're finding here as we're reading, and we're going to read down further, Brother Brian, as we're reading this, we're finding that God's people in many times refuse to listen to him for one reason or another. And a lot of times, as Brother Tanopoulos was praying for our leaders of this congregation, that we are led by the word of God. Many times the people, the children of Israel, were being led by leaders that God had put in place, but yet they were not telling the people the word as they should have been telling them. And what did the people do? These are my leaders. I'm going to follow them. I'm going to follow them. Let's continue there with verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed, this verse here, I love it because this is what's going to get us into heaven. If indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Hold on. Used to skin squirrels with my daddy. And I was little, I didn't know much, and he wouldn't let me hold a knife in order to slit the back of his neck in order to pull that skin off. And I'm standing there, and I'm saying, Daddy, what do I do next? And he said, just hold what you got. Hold what you got. You know, that's what we need to do right now. We need to hold what we have. Hold on. Why? Because the end is coming. When is it coming? Don't know. Just hold on. Hold on. You know, you're going for a ride, and that driver that you're riding with that's driving crazy, and every now and then they may look over there to you and tell you to hold on. And you're like, what is going on? Why did I get in the car with this person? See, we're in the right place right now. And all we need to do is hold on. If indeed we hold our original confidence, listen to that, our original confidence, that was from the beginning. Who hindered you? When did you decide that you was going to turn back? When did you decide that what was being taught to you or what was taught to you is wrong? When did you decide that? Who helped you get to that point? Who helped you? Hold on firm to the end. As it is said, today, if we hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Who was provoked? Who was provoked? The very one that calls them. The very one that told them what they needed to do. This is the word of God now. This is not man. This is God's doing. God is provoked here. You know, we find in Scripture this word provoked here. It can mean, you know, to stir up, to invoke. And it is generally used in a bad sense. But I like the writer of Hebrews. The same writer of Hebrews wrote the whole Bible. That's God. Because he tells us further, as you go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, to provoke unto love and good works. Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. It's used differently. It's the same word, same meaning, but it's used to encourage instead of discourage. But here, he's asking, And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with these who sinned, or with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. They were hindered. No rest. No rest. You know, a lot of times we're sitting or we're lying down somewhere and we're trying to rest, and the phone keeps ringing, or someone comes in the room, or the television just comes on because you've laid over on the remote and you're being hindered from getting the rest that you need. See, what you need to do is you need to turn that phone off. You need to close your door, and you need to put the remote away from you so that you don't roll on and get your rest. Do not be hindered. The rest that we're looking forward to is an eternal rest, and we should not allow anybody nor anything to hinder us from getting that rest. Question is always asked, when are you going to rest? And I tell people, I will rest when I am dead. But if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, guess what? There will be no rest. There's no rest in hell. Satan is not resting right now, and he will not be resting in hell. And he do not want us to have rest. But we can have it if we do what we're supposed to do. 1 Peter chapter 3 in the verse is 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 in the verse is 7. Understanding again that God does not want us to be hindered. That's why we have this word. That's why we're able to do the things that we're doing, because of God. And if we do not do those things, then we will be in trouble. We will be in trouble. 1 Peter 3 and the verse is 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of God, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Do not be disobedient in the things that you need to be doing, but be obedient to them. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Do we understand our wives, husbands? Do we understand that they need us? That we are there for them, that we have an obligation unto them? Do we understand that? It says, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, I know some wives that can body slam some men, their husbands. That's not what he's talking about right here. Just because you're stronger than your husband doesn't mean that you are stronger than your husband. You look over there sometimes and the wife is shedding tears, silently shedding tears, and you're wondering what's wrong with her. A lot of times it's better to wonder that you need to get out of the room. Something has happened. Yes, she's a woman, she's strong, but yet there are some feelings that women have that men do not have. There's some things that men can endure that women can endure, and vice versa now. But she is the weaker vessel. Why is she the weaker vessel? Many times, again, we have to go and we can look through these things and we can say, why is God saying that she's the weaker vessel? Why did God place her under the man? Well, we can go back to the beginning and we can look at what the serpent was able to do with the woman. He beguiled her. She saw that the fruit of that tree was good. It was pleasant to the eyes, and it was good to be received in order to eat. And it would give me what I desire, to the pride of life, to know right from wrong, to be like a god. She fell for that. And then she gave to her husband as well. I just can't talk about Eve and not talk about Adam. But the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. So we as husbands, we have to keep an eye out for our wives, ensuring that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. And the Bible says, again, this is making reference to the man now, but it talks about the woman being the weaker vessel. But listen again what it says. Since they are heirs with you, they're heirs with you. They're standing by your side. We as men are no better than women, but yet they're the weaker vessels. They're heirs with us as we are with Christ. And he says, heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I've been praying for my family a long time, but I don't see any results. Why? Maybe as a husband, you're not doing what you need to be doing. That's why your prayers are being hindered. You know, a lot of times we pray about this and we pray about that, and we don't know that God is just waiting on us to do what is right in order for that prayer to be answered. We say that there's three answers: yes, no, and wait. That wait can turn either to a yes or a no. And a lot of times it's dependent upon us and not God. So let our prayers not be hindered. Let's do what we're supposed to do. And then we find that ignorance is a hindrance. Ignorance is a hindrance. And again, we have to understand the definition of ignorance. It means not knowing. That's the one I want to look at. Not knowing. You're ignorant because you don't know. Well, what am I going to do? You're going to find out what the truth is. And when you find out what the truth is, do what is right. Do what is right. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. However, not all possesses this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Again, however, not all possess this knowledge. Ignorance. How can we not be ignorant about something? How do you open up a book? Who in here does not know how to open up a book? If you don't know, it's no shame in not knowing. Admit that you don't know. And somebody will show you how to open up a book. Then you're no longer ignorant about knowing how to open up a book. You know exactly what you need to do. I was told a story on yesterday in reference to someone said, you can't do that. And they said, why? Tell me why I can't do it. He said, because it says so in the book. He said, what book? He said, this book. He said, show me where it says it in this book. He said, it says it right here. He said, read it to me because I can't read. So in other words, he was playing ignorant. I can do whatever I want to do because I can't read. And that's okay. That's okay. But if you don't learn this book, ignorance is not going to be a factor in the last days. You need to learn this book. You need to get somebody to read you this book. You need to get the book on CD, the book on tape. You know, I know some people that still listen to cassette tapes, and that's okay. You don't want to come to this age. That's okay. Stay there. But they got the Bible on cassette tape. You can read it for yourself. You can hear it for yourself. And you learn the things that you need to do, and you do those things. So do not be hindered. Do not be hindered. How can we not be hindered? How can we not be hindered? Press on. Press on. This is the way that we cannot be hindered, is by pressing on. And I'm going to stop right here. We've got three more verses after this, but we're going to just stop right here with this one here. Because I don't want nobody to be hindered from getting to where you need to be at the time you need to be there. I have no idea where that is and what that is. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not hindered. Not in vain. Not at all. Because you're working for the Lord. You're working for the one that called you. You're working for the one that can tell you to enter in, my good and faithful servant. Press on. Press on. You press on because pressing on is what we need to do. How long do we need to press on? Press on till you get there. Press on till you get there. You know, we've done a lot of crazy things in our life. I remember looking at my gas hand on my automobile, you know, passing up all these gas stations. Shroom, shroom, shroom. And I stopped right in front of one. Before I could get into the drive to get that gas, my car stops. What hindered me? What hindered me from stopping at the first gas station when I realized I needed gas? I wanted to hold on to that little money I had just a little bit longer. You know, that's what's going to cause us from getting into heaven. Holding on to what we love just a little bit longer. Well, we should let those things go and let God's word direct our path. And do what is right. Let's not be hindered. But let's do what is right before Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, what has hindered you from becoming one? What has hindered you? The truth is the truth. If you don't obey the gospel, heaven will not be your home. So come forth this morning and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Rise and to walk a newness of life. And to be an example to someone else. Be able to teach someone else the word of God so that they too may be able to be saved. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you this morning to come back to the fold before it is too late. Come back to the fold because this is what God want you to do. Do not be hindered, but yet press on. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.